want. We are sitting down today with a Backgammon Hall of Fame member who has had tremendous influence over the game. He founded the American Backgammon Tour. He established one of the largest backgammon tournaments in the United States, the Midwest Backgammon Championships in Chicago, and he's established one of the most successful and fun backgammon clubs in the United States, the Bar Point Club in Chicago. In addition to all of that, he has inspired many, many people to not only play the game, but to elevate their game. He has assisted dozens of other tournament directors to establish their own local backgammon clubs and tournaments all over the world. Today, we welcome Bill Davis.
Welcome, Steve. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. Bill, let's start at the beginning. How and from whom did Bill Davis learn to play the game of backgammon?
Well, I was always good in math in school, and in college I took engineering courses and graduated in 1972. I got my degree. I even got a professional engineering license, got a nice job with the city of Chicago. I looked around. I climbed the mountain, but I was on the wrong mountain. So fortunately, in 1973, the backgammon craze was developing. I had always been a gamer, and I mean, celebrities from everywhere were playing the game, including Hugh Hefner in Chicago. It was really the cool thing to do. So in about mid-73, the Chicago Tribune came out with a 12-part series on how to play backgammon by Alfred Scheinwald. I still have that series. I kept it, read it. I discovered the National Backgammon League, which was a series of clubs in Chicago, played a few tournaments with them. And on my first weekend event as a beginner, I won the tournament and I was hooked for life.
Wow. That's great. That's amazing. How many years have you been directing clubs, backgammon clubs, and which ones?
Well, the National Backgammon League continued on from between 74 and 76. At the end of the year, the director had determined that he had collected as many lifetime memberships as he could to be feasibly equitable and basically left with the money. Well, Randy Cohen, a good friend, and I, we really enjoyed playing. It was a great social outlet, and so we resurrected the National Backgammon League with tournaments twice weekly, one in Skokie and one in Northbrook. And then in 1979, Howard Markowitz, the current director of the Las Vegas Backgammon Club, told me of his ideas to create a storefront backgammon club or that would sell boards and tournaments and lessons and everything called Gammons of Chicago. And he asked me to disband in the NBL so that we could have backgammon unity in Chicago. And I agreed, and I became a director for Gammons, and I wrote their newsletter. And it was an exciting time. I mean, it was a 24-hour club, and it was just a lot of life in the club. But around 1983, Gammons began to change to pretty much of a money play club. And when a beginner would come into the tournament, they would see nothing but sharks there, and it was not a good atmosphere for the beginner player. And it wasn't as social as at first it started to be. So along with Peter Kalba in 1983, Memorial Day to be exact, we opened up the Chicago Bar Point Club. And it was a club geared towards beginners, but of course it changed after that, and we generated a lot of social interest. Being in a bar atmosphere, we could get dinner and a drink. And from there, I edited the Chicagoland Backgammon newsletter, and later on, the Chicago Point in 1988, which ran till 2012. So over the 34 years that I ran the Chicago Bar Point Club, 20 of the years were at Pat's Pub and the Golden Flame, and the last 10 to 15 years have been scattered throughout the Chicagoland area.
Wow, that is fantastic. Looking on the national scene, what was the inspiration and motivation behind your creation of the ABT, the American Backgammon Tour, and as a part of that, the creation of one of the biggest and best attended national tournaments, the Midwest Backgammon Championships?
Well, the Midwest Championships, I directed with Peter Kalba and Carol Joy Cole and others for 26 years, between 1984 and 2009. I think we just wanted to have a national event, and I wanted to see if I could do it, and it was a ton of fun. Of course, after 2009, I ran the Central States Invitational with Amy Trudeau up until 2015. In the Midwest Championships, attendance increased every year up through 1995, when over 200 players attended our tournament. After that, we became theme tournaments with costuming. We wanted to keep it social. We wanted to keep it fun. Backgammon is a very brutal game with huge swings, and we thought that if it was social, even if you lost, you could still have a lot of fun. So we would dress in costumes from the 50s, the 60s, Mardi Gras, gangsters, Egyptian costumes, and it was just a lot of fun. We also had fun side events where you could win $100 with free entry. And we made the contestants play youth games like Pigmania, Jacks, Blockhead, Pickup Sticks. In other words, they had to be a kid again in order to win the $100. And, you know, backgammon players are so equity-oriented that they couldn't resist. They had to take a shot at it. So it was a ton of fun. Well, as far as the ABT goes, I played tournament bridge with the American Contract Bridge League in college. And bridge master points are the only incentive for playing bridge. There is no money prize. And they use a great system where the more you attend, the more points you can win. So you need to be dedicated, but you also need to be good. And I thought that was a good system for backgammon. We didn't want a chess system where a player could rest on his laurels if he had a good year and just sit up there with a high rating. So we wipe the slate clean every year, and it's a fresh race. So nobody, everybody starts even at the start of each year. So in the early 1990s, the reason to attend backgammon tournaments was only money. And so to bring the clubs together and the national tournaments together, I spoke with as many backgammon directors as I could. And, of course, that's like herding cats. They're very individualistic. But we did get to an agreement where I would keep the points and we would have a master point race. And like I said, it was based on the American Contract Bridge League's race. 12 directors did agree in 1992, and the ABT was formed in 1993 with an average of about 20 tournaments participating each year. Well, this past year in 2016, I got married and, of course, have other family interests now. And I sold the American Backgammon Tour to the USBGF, the United States Backgammon Federation. They may or may not have membership fees to play in the future, which is fine because it's been very successful in bridge and chess. But I just felt it was the thing to do, as my I can't dedicate the amount of time that I did in previous years.
And it ties back to the original theme of unity of backgammon. So less competition between clubs and organizations and more unity and fun for all.
That's correct.
And finally, I'd like to say that you've seen many changes over your 40 or so years in the backgammon world. What do you think of some of those changes, and what do you think the future holds for the game itself?
Well, the computer has been the biggest change. Jellyfish, Snowy, and now Extreme Gammon, they've basically solved the game of backgammon. What I mean is that we used to have surveys of the expert players, which was a lot of fun. I'd go around and ask Bill Roberti, Paul McGrill, Kit Woolsey, and the like, what would you play in this position? And they would, all the answers wouldn't be the same. So it was very interesting. Now people just say, what would XG do? And that kind of ends it. So in that respect, the technical knowledge has been great for the learning process, but it's probably to some degree hurt the social aspects of the game. We don't see as many propositions being played out And as I said, there are still expert players, but there is nobody at the level of extreme gammon. So backgammon is now not a craze. The average age is probably towards 60 years old, where it was 30 in the 1970s. And will it bring these technical aspects, bring new players? I hope so, but they certainly will be a different kind of player that becomes a backgammon player. Initially, I was not a supporter of the U.S. Backgammon Federation. But as I get older, I realize that there is a need for an organization if backgammon is to live on, because no one individual lives forever. And they can keep the ball rolling and go in the direction of what is happening. For example, right now, computers and technical aspects are what seem to be the most interesting thing to our players. I've had a blast running backgammon all these years. Aside from the other tournaments, I directed tournaments in Costa Rica. I've been able to travel the world to Greece and Spain and the Isle of Man and numerous other locations. I run a cruise tournament, which is actually coming up next week. And it's just been a wonderful ride. But I am glad that I'm relinquishing the ABT to the USBGF, because organizations go on, and they go on with new blood. And I think new blood is what is needed in our game.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. What a colorful 40 or so years. And a lot of people have been affected in a very positive way by all your contributions. So in conclusion, I'd like to say that on behalf of the many people all over the world who have enjoyed playing backgammon, in no small part to your many contributions to the game, we thank you and we wish you well.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Take care.